Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, November the 20th, 2025, 11-2025. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Don't forget Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 10:15 a.m. till 12 noon today. And Adam the Computer Guy today, 12:15 until 1 p.m. Do want to remind everybody again that the Marion City Schools board meeting tonight will be honoring Mary Ellen Withrow with the renaming of the community room in her name tonight, the Mary Ellen Withrow Community Room. There'll be a presentation. Mary Ellen will be there. I'll be a part of it. Should be a lot of fun, and we all look forward to tonight at 6 p.m. at Harding High School. So, big night tonight, and that's open to the public. Anybody can attend that, and I have another event I have to do today. I don't think that's open to the public, but I'll tell you more about that tomorrow and what went on today with that other event. Now, we've been talking about a lot of stuff here this morning. If there's anything on anybody's mind, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, you know, it's the city's finances this week has been the topic du jour all week here on the program. And where are we going to get and how are we going to get there? A lot of suggestions have come up. And again, I don't want to beat this to death, but I do want to say that the mayor or any other politician who might be listening is always free to call in 740-383-9944. All right. Go ahead, caller.
I'm going to be quick so other people have a chance to talk. No, I do believe I agree with you. We're going to go into fiscal watch. That is the second category. No, the state of Ohio will not be sitting up here writing our checks or dipping their fingers into our checking accounts. We will submit a plan to them, like they will give us certain criteria. You need to meet these goals by these dates. We'll submit a plan to them. They'll approve it. They'll hold us to it. If they don't like it, they'll send it back and say, no, you need to cut more here, there, wherever. Because, like, let's say that they try not to cut the economic developer thing, and the state sees that, they're going to say, no, we're not going to let you cut your parks department before you fund that position, sort of thing. So they'll be able to make those decisions, but they'll leave them up to us unless they don't like them. That's where we would be.
Right, right. And I believe they also give the city 6 weeks to come up with that. And I believe
yes. So it really depends on what stage you're in. Like if you're in the worst, I think you have like 30 days. Maybe we might get 90 days to come up with the plan once they tell us this is the level that you're in.
So really, again, it comes down to the budget.
It comes down to the budget.
But,
you know, the state won't allow us to have, they won't allow us to start, to project starting year 2027 with $0. They won't allow that.
Well, and I have to expect that the mayor knows this. And when
I'm telling you, the state of Ohio laid this out for them before they sent that letter. State of Ohio was here twice, remember, with doing the audit exit thing before they officially released the audit to the public. The state of Ohio came
right,
here.
Right, but there are
they
things
talking about corrective action plans. What, state has already been here in our ass.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I think that the mayor, if you're right, and that happened that way, then the mayor knew that. So why would you come up with a $20 million budget and present that?
Because he doesn't know what he's doing. I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday. I said, if you know you have a budget shortfall like that, you do not present it in your first round. You do absolutely everything you can, and then you come maybe with a $3 million budget shortfall and say, we're going to need to make these cuts, and we're still at that dollar amount. So with these proposed cuts, you don't come and say, hey, I'm $5 million over. You come with, these are all of the proposed cuts that I'm going to have to make. I mean, how many times, I don't know, I guess people don't follow this stuff. When you have a huge budget shortfall, as leadership, you come up with the cuts that you're going to need to make before you present a budget. The school board's going through it right now. School board's making cuts to their budget right now. They're not coming up with some $5 million shortfall and saying, hey, we got a problem, we're going to have to dip into our savings.
What I'm saying is if the state came before he wrote that letter and said, you have to do such and such, such and such, such and such, or we're going to do this, then why would you make a budget like that?
They haven't told us such and such and such. And they told us, they got us together for 2021, and they addressed things that they are knowing that are going on right now.
Right.
That's
right.
Why they kept talking about corrective action plan. We've already started submitting them to the state. We've already told the state how we're going to get our stuff together. Well, how we plan on getting our stuff together. The state has to approve those.
Well, yeah, but
so, we've already told, as far as the bad things that are going on right now, like the excessive spending and stuff like that, we've already told them how we would cut and how McGinnis went in and made sure that things couldn't be overridden and stuff like that. Those are steps that we're taking right now that the state of Ohio has already ordered us to take.
But there are some things that need to be paid attention to here, because there's been a lot of talk.
There's a bunch of things that need to be paid attention to.
Well, but there's some, I think sometimes, and I've said this before, I think that we, unfortunately, when these conversations happen, people go off in 1,000 different areas, and that's for the average person who's just trying to pay attention to what's going on, that's too much. And I think you have to focus in on the main issues here. And one
of the main issue is we're broke.
Right, but the main issue that people should pay attention to, so it does not get diverted, is that, okay, have there been issues with the auditor? Yes, there have. Mm-hmm. Have there been issues with the treasurer? That's up in the air. We really don't know. Okay, but regardless of what the auditor and the treasurer have done, they have not set forth a budget like this. Now,
no, remember when McGinnis was on your show, she said we have a spending problem.
Right, but also, you look back, you know, Schertzer for, what was it, from 21 until 23, he was also under some financial strain, and I don't think his budgets were anything like this.
No.
To say that this, because I did hear this answer that, well, we didn't know what the projected revenues are and we're really not sure what they're going to be.
Listen, that's not a good excuse, because if you know, we can estimate, let's say the last 3 years it's been $15 or $15 million and then $17 million and then $14.5 million. I mean, you can estimate and go through there and say, okay, $15 million would be a fair number. Instead of saying, oh, we don't know, and then blaming it on the auditor. Oh, we don't know. Well, that's your budget that you put together. Don't present it if you don't know.
Well, that's what I don't see. Again, this comes back to one central point. Mayor Collins has had a very aggressive agenda. No doubt about it. And there are no two ways.
By aggressive, do you mean expensive?
Well, yeah, a lot of money's been spent. Now, why would you have an aggressive agenda if you truly did not know how much money the city had?
Now, you want to know, another conversation that I was having yesterday is that Collins was always only, well, I don't want to say only, Collins was always affiliated with the police department, who, as Schaber said, and if you go back and read through the audits, they overspend their budget by six figures every year. So he has never been in a situation where he's had to actually maintain a budget. This is the exact amount of money that you're given, and there isn't an opportunity to overspend. He's not ever had to do that in his adult career.
Yeah, but
so he doesn't understand it is my assumption.
Did people just think, I guess what I'm confused about, did people just think that Schertzer didn't want a budget director, that Schertzer wouldn't have liked a grant writer, that Schertzer wouldn't have liked to open up the rec center, that Schertzer wouldn't have liked new signs in town, that Schertzer wouldn't have liked to spruce up downtown, that Schertzer wouldn't have liked to have given a party for the people of Marion? I mean, do people think that Schertzer would not have wanted to do these things? I mean, why wouldn't you? It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, why wouldn't anybody want to do those things?
Expand the transit department. Do you think he wouldn't have wanted?
Exactly.
Okay.
What good leadership doesn't want to provide more services for their people?
Right.
I'm sure any any councilman, any person that's sitting up there for the last 25, 30 years would want those things for the city if we could afford them.
Right, but so that's my contention with all of this is I never could understand, and anybody can go back and listen to the tape programs, every time something like that happened, I would say, well, Collins is doing it, but I'm sure that past mayors would have liked to have done that too. It was always a financial issue, and I don't understand where this money's coming from. I don't understand that, and I don't understand it till up until today, because he was still...
That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, but he's still proposing $5,000 IT audits. Mm-hmm. And an
$19 million budgets. Like I couldn't imagine. If you in a business setting, if you went in and presented a budget like this to your board of directors or to whomever, you know, your board, and I mean, people would look at you like, "Are you serious?"
Oh, updating the website. That was another thing. Updating the website.
Just $35,000. That you're bringing us a budget that's 25% over revenue, and you don't know how you're going to fix. What have you been doing, budget director? Because this isn't what budget directors do.
Well, and that's another
thing.
That's
literally just typing out spreadsheets and printing them.
I don't understand what the budget director's job is.
What I just said is what she did. Is she put numbers in spreadsheets and she printed them, because that is not directing a budget. Directing a budget is keeping it within, keep staying in your lane, like you told Schauber. Staying in your financial lane.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Okay, the auditor's job is to pay the bills. Okay.
Pay the bills.
But they don't create the bills.
Not create them. No, they do not create them.
Right, so what... I don't understand where they thought the money was coming from.
She's not paying bills that weren't created for.
Right, so who created the bills?
Okay, let's run through it. $10,000 worth of office furniture, $10,000 worth of bus wraps. We had to pay money to use the name Love Your City. We had to pay money for the font. There was something, I can't remember. It was like, there's so many controversies. It was like Microsoft font versus Apple font, and I don't know, but we had to pay money for that, or the colors, or something like that. We had to pay, did I say to use the name Night Moves? We've had to pay, let's see, I mean, look at all the lawsuits we're wrapped up in, so look at all the legal fees we've been paying. We've paid for all these things, you know, look, the stops, the street signs, the $4,700 worth of wall wraps in Bodine's room, there's a $1,200 decal in the mayor's conference room, $500 office chairs.
Well, you know what I'll go back to? I'll go back to this. When this election was happening for mayor, I said, people need to pay very close attention, because you've got two candidates who have never been elected to city council. They've never sat a day in city government, the legislative part of it. And this has never happened in the last at least half century in Marion. So when people say drain the swamp, well, maybe we need some swampy people in there who actually know about budgets and actually know how city government runs.
Hey, Robert Landon was going to be the change agent. He was what we needed.
Well, I'm just saying, Mayor Schertzer had
That's
been on
what
city...
That's though. Change. Drain the swamp.
Yeah, but
change.
But Mayor Schertzer had not... Mayor Schertzer had been on city council. Jack Kellogg had been on city council. Doc Brown had been on city council. Ron Malone had been on city council.
We needed to get rid of Schauber because we needed a change, and we changed him up for an 82-year-old man that goes on websites and talks about silent sabotage, and they defer to his... IT expertise in Vietnam. That's what's going to lead us through this 2025-26 crisis.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. I just think that at some point, there's no training for these jobs unless you're in it somewhere. And maybe that's why this... having been around it and having done it sometimes is a help. You know, government is the only job that we seem to want to elect people who have no experience. You know, if you're going to go flip burgers at Burger King, caller, I'm coming right to you. But I have never understood that. Government is the only job where we say we want people who've never been in government more than people who have. You know, if somebody applies for a job at Burger King and somebody has worked at Burger King in the past for 10 years and somebody hasn't, I'm picking the person who knows how to flip burgers. That's how you do it. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I think, first off, how many people, except for Ayers and Jason, ever has voted no against any proposals that the mayor brings up? Okay, that's their job as council people. But the worst thing about it is, at the beginning of the year, we had a new president. We had five new council members that had never been on council.
That's true.
And so they need to fix that where they're on a rotation so we don't come up with a bunch of freshman people. And it, until they do that, I mean, I think the horse is out of the barn on this, but I thought when in the beginning of the year, and who besides Ayers and Jason ever voted against anything that the mayor presented? It's because we had a bunch of brand new council people, and so they went along with, well, a lot of stuff never got to a vote. He just did it. But I got to give it to the people sitting there that is representing us that they didn't do their job either.
Well, no, and I should mention Rollins did vote against some things, so we have to include Rollins in some of that.
Okay, and okay, that's three people.
And occasionally, I do believe Thad Smith did. It wasn't a lot, but it did happen occasionally.
But they are all freshman members. So the worst part of it is they need to fix that where they're on a rotation so we don't have a new bunch of new calves coming in. And then, of course, they're going to go along with what the mayor says. Crying out loud, they're due. They don't know.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. Do you remember, I know you're a faithful listener, and I'm glad you are. Do you remember for the last 2 years, when something would happen, when something was passed, one of the things along with me saying, I don't understand where this money's coming from, but I would also say, why isn't council questioning the mayor? Nobody ever asks him a question. And I do have to put a lot of time... Jason did it occasionally. Ayers did it less occasionally. Now, that's probably because he's had some other issues in the last couple of years. And Rollins did it occasionally. But nobody would ever speak to the mayor like they were speaking to the auditor and the treasurer. They are all elected the same way. Why has the mayor been treated differently for 2 years?
Because you have a bunch of freshman council people there. If you had those council people on a rotation, you didn't have a bunch of freshmen coming in. And naturally, they are going to go along with the mayor. I mean, he is the mayor. And you can't blame all this crap on the mayor in his defense. Where was everybody voting down what they didn't think we had any business being involved in?
Well, I'll tell you an interesting story, and I know I've told it before, but I think it's very applicable in this conversation, is that when Mayor Schertzer was not, I think he was in his first term, they proposed the Aquatic Center. Council wanted the Aquatic Center. The mayor vetoed that Aquatic Center, said, we don't have the money for this. Council overrode his veto. He vetoed it a second time. And they overrode his second veto. Now, that's how we got the Aquatic Center. And City Council was meeting at City Hall. I was doing a radio show on a Thursday night. This was a special meeting in which they overrode his veto. He walked from City Hall down to where my radio station was at the time, radio station office, which was down just about a mile up Center Street there, walked in and said they overrode my veto and they're going to live to regret it. And Jack Kellogg supported Mayor Schertzer in that. He said, this is wrong. They shouldn't be doing it. They used to speak up against the mayor. Council used to override. Now, was it good to override the mayor in that situation? Probably not, because the Aquatic Center has been a money loser. But people used to speak up against the mayor. People used to say, you shouldn't do this. This mayor has not gotten a lot of that.
Scott, have we always had where on the rotation is you move out half of them and move in the other half? Has that always been like that?
For council, yes, I believe so.
Well, that's a mistake right there. And like I said, a lot of stuff he went ahead and done on his own, which he can't use the idea it's because he's new, because he's been involved in city government his whole life. But when the council sits there and goes along with everything he says, hey, they're as much at fault as he is.
Oh, they are. They are. They're culpable. They're absolutely culpable.
Granted, there's a lot of stuff slid under before the council ever knew anything about it. But by the same token, is the rest of the people up there in the peanut gallery going along with him?
Well, I'll tell you what, I still... Now, people, again, and I hate to, you know, re-chew the food here, but maybe we need a refresher on some stuff that has happened. The transit bus expansion. Council was not even aware it happened. They said so. There was never a vote to expand transit. Never a vote to call for expanding transit. And when council, I believe Schaber brought up the idea that you have to supply us with a financial report every month, council voted it down. Don't supply us with that financial report.
Okay, but you've got a bunch of freshmen, council people there, and they're probably going to go along with what the mayor says. They're new, for crying out loud. Or you got seasoned ones, like Ayers and Jason, that probably the first year or so this, and they wasn't that sharp going against the mayor.
Well,
but they've got to redo that where we don't have a whole new batch of calves in.
Well, is it because they're new, or is it because it's all of the same party and they feel it's team sports and we're going to go this way?
Well, all I know is they need to fix that where they do not have, and I don't know how they do it, where they don't have 3/4 of the council comes in new.
Well, I mean, just a few weeks ago, when the mayor was asked, where are you going to get the money for the economic development director, he said, I don't know. And they still voted to pass it.
Like I say, it's because the mayor said that. He is the mayor.
But you would think, I don't know isn't a good answer. Why in the world would you pass that?
Well, like I say, it's kind of like he's the school principal, and who's going to go against the school principal?
Well, and I don't think...
He's new with the whole business, too.
And I don't think they...
I'm not surprised it's in the mess it's in, because you have a bunch of... And how many of those people that are sitting on council ever came to council meetings before they were elected?
Oh, very few.
Well, Scott, I'm not going to fix it. I just like to stir up the, you know, the coals.
Well, it's something that needs to be talked about, that's for sure.
And besides that, at least I got the coals stirred up Monday night.
Well, yeah, and we found out, you know, what has been your take on the whole, I mean, fire station thing? That seems to be the thing most people are angry about.
Well, all I know is when they brought it forward for us to vote on it, the fire truck was going to fall through the floor. And 3 years later, it still ain't fell through the floor, and we're no closer to having a new building, a new home for it, than we was when we voted on it. And our money is getting worth less and less and less. The price of our money's getting worth less, and the supplies to build that and the person to build it is getting more and more and more. So if we have one before I'm dead and buried, I'll be surprised.
Well, hopefully we do. Hopefully.
Hey, Scott, so much. I won't bother you anymore. I'll just listen.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, again, where this all goes, I have no idea. Now the poll veto thing, there might be more. You know, I think I taped that interview with Mayor Schertzer. I might have to go back and listen to that thing, how that all shook out in the end. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, and the plot thickens. It's going to be so thick that it's going to choke the taxpayers of Marion. Jeez. You know, the lady that just called in, how do we, you know, get people in there that have a little bit of experience in that? I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Democratic Club and the Republican Club are guilty of throwing people who don't know what the hell they're doing upon the taxpayer. Both parties, both groups, should have a program kind of like Major League Baseball. You have them in the farm leagues. You get them educated. This is how this works. This is how the function of your position is. If you're on this committee, this is the function. You need to learn parliamentary procedure.
Yeah, but it's here's the thing. Let me just get in here.
If you had people that you groomed them and vetted them and said, look, voters, they've gone through X, Y, Z. We're confident they can do the job you elect them to do.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The people who have been voted in, when it comes down to the actual vote, they know what they're voting for. They know how they're going to vote on that. And they know why they're voting on that. Am I saying that the parliamentary procedure that's being followed down there is correct right now? No. Those snafus are happening, and they shouldn't happen, but they do. But when this council votes, they know darn well what they're voting for. They could have been put in. It doesn't take too much to figure out a $10,000 party in the park. Well, that's not a hard thing to figure out. Yay or nay,
well,
do you vote for
one
that?
One of those council people took a real interest in what's going on. They would have meetings, okay, where do we stand financially?
Can
we afford this? Can we afford this before we pass legislation to buy this?
Yeah, but see, you think that might have something to do with inexperience. I don't know that that's true. I think that
is inexperience.
Well, just look at how the votes go as far as party lines go. And then you have a better perspective of what's going on.
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I mean, Collins came into the Republican Party from left field. I'm going to run for mayor. So how many other people did he bring on board that are on council now, just like he stacked the deck for the Charter Commission, you know?
Well, that's
so how many of those people did he rally or recruit to be on there to rubber stamp everything that the mayor wanted?
Well, again, I will come back to the point. The auditor has been talked to like garbage on several occasions by city council. The treasurer has been talked to like garbage several occasions by city council. Give me one time where the mayor has been heavily questioned for anything he did, and we have run down a whole lot of things that the mayor has done. I'm sorry, the mayor's not a king, and the mayor is not the boss of city council any more than he's the boss of the auditor or the treasurer. So I am not sure why city council does not question him.
Maybe they're afraid that since he was the former chief of police and he's got close ties to Jay McDonald, that, you know, if they don't go his way, there may be a knock on their door in the middle of the night, you know?
Well, if that would happen, then we've got a bigger problem. You know, if anybody's facing retribution because of they spoke out against the mayor, then there's a problem.
There's no doubt in my mind there's intimidation somewhere along the line.
Well, you know, then that's a much... Somebody should say that.
Well, it's my suspicion, and that's it. But, you know, you look at the way things go, it's like too many people, too many ostriches with their heads in the sand. Well, hey, to a better tomorrow.
All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 45 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Radio. You know, I don't know. I just wonder. And I'm not saying you got to get up and scream at the mayor, although they certainly have screamed at the auditor and the treasurer. We've seen that. Now, at this point, wouldn't you have to take a no-confidence vote in the mayor with everything that's happened? I mean, if you want to take one for Tommy Reese, I mean, I would certainly think this is the time. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I agree with Terry there that some of them might be intimidated by him being a cop and his association with the police department. Look what happened to Ayers. Do the rest of them want to go through what he's going through? I don't know if he's guilty or not, but it seems like they, if he was guilty, why didn't they go through with the trial in the first place?
But I can't say the mayor is involved in that at all.
Well, we can't say, but Scott, that stuff happens in local governments, state governments, federal governments.
Well, I'm going to hope to believe, with no evidence, that the mayor is not involved in anything like that.
Well, I hope not, but...
Listen, as I've said before, I have never had what I would call a bad experience with Bill Collins. We just don't talk. But I think he thinks what he is doing is right. I believe he does. But I just think there have been mistakes made along the way that for some reason have not been paid attention to. And now somebody's going to have to pay attention to him.
Well, he really didn't have enough experience, you know, and to know that we was in trouble. When he got in there, you know, started spending money, you know, on this and that and this. You know, when he was running for mayor, he wasn't privy to any problems we had with our financial situation.
No, but he knew they were there. And that's what I can't understand. If you know that the troubles are there, why do you have such an aggressive agenda? As mayor, don't you want to get... Shouldn't your first thing be to get these finances worked out before you start spending and adding positions?
Well, yeah, that should be. And another thing about the fire department. Really, I don't understand why it's on hold. Because when we voted to increase our taxes, and that's being held in a separate kitty, why can't they go ahead and build a fire department?
Well, I think there's a lot of intricacies in that. I think they have to get the money through a loan, and we don't have a bond rating, and now we've asked the auditor of the state for help, and so loan companies are not looking happily at that. I mean, there's a whole mess going on there.
So of the money that we're taking in, we're going to pay for the loan.
Right, and then we'll pay the loan back with the taxes that come in. That's my understanding of the situation.
Well, that could be. I don't know. But it was my understanding that all that money was being put back. Maybe.
Well, I think it is. I have no reason to believe that the tax money has been spent for anything. I have not seen any proof of that. But I just don't... I don't know. I don't know how these budgets are what they are with the revenues being what they are. I certainly would think that you would want your revenue closer to your budget than what it has been.
All right, and what it is currently. I mean, we can't do what the federal government does and just print more money and add to the deficit. You know, we got to be somewhat fiscally conservative, but on the federal level, I mean, by the last several presidents, that just ain't happened.
Well, I don't believe that council can show up on Monday and say, oh, okay, this is all good. I just don't believe it can happen that way, and it's a full council meeting Monday, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, thanks. And by the way, the phones are open. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program today. Linda Sims will be on when I'm done today, 10:15 to 12 noon. And then Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 to 1. But we've got about 10 minutes, so if you've been thinking about weighing in, feel free to do so, 740-383-9944. And who knows, maybe there is a council person out there. Maybe there is a person in public office who understands some of the questions that have been asked here. Take the last 10 minutes of the program and explain it to us. Is this correct? Is this not correct? The phone lines are open and we've got 10 minutes. It's valuable time to spend continuing to try to figure out this problem. 740-383-9944. And I do want to remind everybody again, the Marion City Schools School Board meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. at Harding, honoring Mary Ellen Withrow, naming the room for her. Show up there. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, it's just good that the Charter City thing failed. You know,
well, that would have cost more money.
Yeah, they knew that was going to cost a lot of money.
So there's that as well.
And they went ahead and pushed it and tried to get it in. And there's no money to pay for it.
Well, it has seemed as if this council is not really worried about finances.
What? No.
I mean, I don't know that they ever met an ordinance that spent money that they didn't like.
Yeah, but spend happy. Give her, you know, give your wife's credit card and let her go out shopping or something.
So here we go. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. A matter of fact, I'm trying to think of an ordinance that's been put forth in the last 2 years that spent some kind of money that council voted down. I'm trying to think of one that would have happened. I honestly, it's terrible. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Any ordinance that's been put forth for a position or spending money for something that has not gone through. So that should tell you something right there. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
The only Collins-initiated ordinance that City Council voted down was the marijuana moratorium. Anything else he's wanted, he's got, whether it was through ordinance or just by doing it.
And there we go.
And there you go.
Thank you. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, maybe you should ask your council people questions. Why are they voting the way they are? Why are they doing what they've done? Are they going to try to approve a budget that is way out of whack? I'm sure Mayor Collins is in meetings with the budget director trying to pare down this budget, tighten the belt, as it's been said in the past. Go ahead, caller.
You remember Professor Irwin Corey?
Oh, he was on the show many times.
Yeah, too bad he's not around. I'll bet you he could explain the whole situation.
World's foremost authority.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and again, the phone lines are open here this morning. We've got about 7 minutes left in the program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Unfortunately, Professor Irwin Corey has went on to his reward, so no more Professor Irwin Corey to explain anything to us. And I don't know if there is any explaining at this point. As one of the callers said earlier, it's done. I don't know what can be done now. Pare down the budget. You know, I guess that's it. You got 6 weeks. Pare down this budget to something that is in the realm of possibility. And try not to cut things that are going to hurt people too badly. I don't know. I keep trying to think, well, what are you going to cut out of the budget? What was in that budget Monday night that could be cut back? You know, I doubt it's going to be the raises or the benefits packages for people. Is it going to be positions? You know, I don't know. I don't know where you make these cuts. You don't want people to lose their job. And again, I don't think advocating for anybody to lose their job is a good idea. But some of these positions that did not exist prior to Mayor Collins may have to go. And I think it's very interesting that we do have a budget director now. We didn't used to have a budget director 2 years ago. And with a budget director, we're at a place where the budget is way off. So I've said it many times. What in the world does the budget director do? Is the budget director looking at the budget? I mean, they get paid a pretty hefty salary every year. I don't know. 55 minutes past the hour. If you've wanted to weigh in, now's your time. 5 minutes left to go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've been thinking about saying anything, speaking your piece, now is the time. We would love to hear from you. It's always good to hear from people out there in the listening audience. I think the conversations we've been having here are very important. I know people listen to them who are council members. I know people listen to them who work down in City Hall. And, you know, I think it does matter what people have to say. So if you've got something to say, we do have 4 minutes left here of time. So give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's time for you. You can have the last 4 minutes of the program. But it's all just a big ball of confusion. One of the reasons is none of us have, well, I have not seen the budget. I don't know what's in that thing. Certain people have seen it. It's going to have to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 million, I would have to believe. Or where does this go? You know, I don't know how it could be passed, how it could get through three readings if it's not somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 million, with the projected revenues being at $14 million. Because there might be enough money in investments to make up that other $2 million. But I don't know how you get anywhere above $16 million and still pass that thing. Because I'm not sure where the money's going to be made up. Is it taxes? On people? I mean, I guess if you like all these new positions and you like all this stuff, I guess you might have to pay for it, is the lesson we're learning. Fire station on hold. Multi-million dollar project on Prospect Street on hold. Who knows what else is going on? I guess we don't know. Go ahead, caller.
I think it's incumbent upon the city administration and the council people to take a salary cut as an act of good faith that they have the best interests of the city of Marion at heart.
Well, you going to come to the meeting Monday night? You could suggest that.
Oh, I don't know. It's a full council?
I believe so.
Oh, possibly. It just, if I were a bulimic, I'd absolutely go.
All right.
Thanks.
Phone lines are open. We've got about a minute left here. Then Voice of a People with Linda Sims will hit the airwaves. And I'm sure Linda will have a great show, as always. Same thing can be said for Adam, who'll be on 12 to 1 today, so that'll be a good show. And life will keep spinning, but the conversation is also going to keep happening here. What has happened? What is going on? And Mayor Collins, if you are listening to the show, I hope you take me up on the request to come on, because this would be the topic. And maybe there are answers. Maybe there, bring the budget director with you. You know, maybe there are answers to what she does. Maybe there are answers to where these cuts are going to be made. How did we get to where we are? Questions need to have answers. And hopefully we get those, because you, the voting public, are the one who needs those. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place,